with Martin Bester.
On the line is Professor Helen Rees. Professor Rees has so many titles, it literally will take me the entire time of the interview to go through them all. Good morning, Professor Rees.
Good morning. How are you, Martin?
I'm fine, thank you. Just in short, what all do you do?
Which I do.
You're board chairman of SAHPRA.
Yes.
Okay. And?
Well, I head a large research institute at Fitz Faculty of Health Sciences, which does a lot of research into HIV and infectious diseases, but also obviously now into COVID and reproductive health, maternal health. And then I do a lot of work with the World Health Organization, and I'm also helping out on both the Ministerial Advisory Committee and the Vaccine MAC.
Great stuff. So what did you do this weekend? work, and work. Listen, thanks for your time. I know it's precious. Let me get right into it. Vaccines. There are a lot of questions still about it. There's a lot of hesitancy. What is the latest and greatest news? I mean, we've had more than a year now, probably, or a couple of months at least, to do research and to come up with statistics around the vaccines. How happy are you with the vaccines that are available in South Africa?
Well, at the moment, we've got two vaccines available. We have the Pfizer vaccine and the J&J vaccine. So the Pfizer vaccine requires two doses, and the J&J vaccine requires a single dose at the moment. but we're looking closely at that to decide whether we need to give a second dose a bit later on. Oh. But at the moment, it's a single dose. So those are the two vaccines we've got. And but we're also reviewing through SAHPRA a number of other vaccines. The Chinese vaccine called Sinovac has been approved by SAHPRA, and the Department of Health is looking at that. And there are other vaccines that have been reviewed by the regulatory authority. The important thing about these vaccines that we currently have available worldwide, those that are being rolled out, is that all of them demonstrate effectiveness against protecting against severe disease and death. And at the moment, that's our priority. We want to stop people getting very sick, and we want to stop people dying, and we want to stop blocking up our hospitals, and we have these huge waves of infection.
Is the one vaccine more effective than the other? Some people prefer, and I don't know based on what, to get the J&J, and some people the other one.
Look, they're both very effective against severe disease and hospitalization. So you're quite right. Some people prefer to have the Pfizer, and some people prefer the J&J because it's a single dose and it's easier to manage. But at the moment, we are certainly not saying, you know, one is better than the other. We're saying any vaccine that we roll out in this country, we're going to make sure that they're going to be effective and they're going to protect you. But in the future, some of the questions we're asking about all the vaccines is, what do they do against mild and moderate disease? Do they stop infection completely? No, none of them do. But do they reduce the transmission of infection to other people? So these are questions that we're still answering for all of the vaccines that we're rolling out. But definitely messages at the moment, please get that vaccine as soon as you can.
I even hear some people that have a J&J vaccine and a single dose Pfizer.
That's right. That's another thing that research has been done on at the moment, which is to say, first of all, will we need to boost any of these vaccines in the future? How long will they protect you for? Do we need to give an annual boost or even more frequently or less frequently? So there's a lot of research that's been done on that. And if we need to give boosting doses in the future, should it be the same vaccine, or is it better if we give a different type of vaccine? And there's mounting evidence that suggests that, in fact, combining two different vaccines can be quite effective, quite an effective combination. But just watch that space, because at the moment the World Health Organization is saying, let's gather the evidence. Okay. There are a few groups of people who we are suggesting should have an extra dose of vaccines, and these are mostly people who've got what we call immunosuppression, whose immune system isn't working properly for either because they're on drugs that suppress it or for other reasons. They're, in that group, we are beginning to suggest that they have an extra dose of vaccine, but that's not for everybody.
That's not for everybody. I'm not off the vaccine yet because there are too many questions that come in about the vaccine. As I said, a lot of people still are hesitant for various reasons, like this question over here. Just listen to this.
Goeie julle, my vraag is, as die vaccine nou verkeerd gaan, wat is die verwagte verkeerd gaan? Gaan 100,000 mense doodgaan? Gaan ons allemaal doodgaan? Gaan party doodgaan?
So there's still a lot of questions about the vaccine. People are still unsure. What is worst case scenario? And are there any new side effects that you've picked up on?
Well, one of the things that's happening in South Africa, and we're linking very strongly to all of the other countries in the world that are rolling out vaccines and with the World Health Organization, we watch, because these are new vaccines and it's a new disease, we're monitoring very, very closely for side effects. Now, we have picked up some side effects in the Pfizer, which is inflammation of the heart we call myocarditis. It's extremely rare. What we certainly do know is that COVID infection can cause this at a much, much higher rate. And the myocarditis that we've seen with the Pfizer is extremely rare. In most cases, it's self-limiting. So you're talking about cases per million, small cases, numbers of cases per million. In the J&J vaccine, we've picked up a condition where you get an unusual condition where you get thrombosis in some of the vessels. Again, extremely rare. And once again, if you look at COVID disease, clotting is one of the very common and serious side effects of COVID disease. So what we do is we say, what's the benefit of vaccine versus the risk? These risks are tiny. The risk of COVID infection, everyone is huge. Not everyone is, of course, not everyone is going to die, but by now everyone will know somebody or someone who has died. But many people are now getting long-term, persistent, what we call long COVID symptoms. This is a nasty, nasty disease, and nobody wants to get it. So, benefit risk, the vaccines outweigh any risk at all, but we are monitoring very closely for side effects. But really, to everyone who's asking those questions, and the caller there, I would guess, is probably a middle-aged person, I would suggest, really, really good idea if he hasn't had the vaccine. Go and get it now.
The one statistic that we need to know and the one statistic that comes forward so often is the fact that these vaccines lower the risk of serious illness, hospitalization, and death. It's just weird how the world works. You hear about one statistic, so rumor spread by someone somewhere on the opposite end of the planet, and that's the one that we go with. It's so, so strange. But we just keep hitting on the fact that overwhelming support for the vaccines. Just quickly, long COVID. What would long COVID symptoms be?
Well, there are a host of symptoms. People who have been hospitalized, have been very ill, have had trouble with their lungs in particular, can have persistent problems with their lungs or their heart afterwards. But some of the common symptoms, even people who've had moderate disease, even mild disease in some cases, include things like shortness of breath, lack of exercise tolerance, just feeling exhausted, muscle aches, chest pain, a sort of brain fog that people describe. And with that, people get very anxious, often depression, insomnia, pins and needles, loss of smell. And people talk about having a horrible smell. So it's not just sometimes loss of smell, but when the smell comes back, everything smells strange and unpleasant. So this is long COVID. And we think that, many people will have symptoms that will go on for weeks. Many people will get better completely from those symptoms. But we think that perhaps as many as 10 to 15% have persistent symptoms. And just, because for your listenership, just another thing about vaccines is there's now evidence that shows that if you have a vaccine, you are much less likely to get long COVID. So it's not only that it's going to stop you getting severe disease, but it's also going to reduce this risk of this horrible persistent set of symptoms.
A lot of questions about who qualifies or who shouldn't qualify to have a vaccine if you're on certain drugs. Questions like these.
How safe is it for people who have rheumatoid arthritis to take the vaccine?
If you're on a certain, a drug or medication, or you have a certain conditions, are there conditions where you should stay away from the vaccine?
very, 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 very few conditions. And in fact, it's quite the opposite. Many people who've got things, including rheumatoid arthritis, but things like diabetes, high blood pressure, we really want people to have the vaccine because those groups are actually more susceptible to severe COVID infection. So it's actually quite the opposite. There are very few conditions where we say don't get the vaccine. In fact, it's really, we're saying to everyone, get out there and get the vaccine. If you're on drugs and if you're on, for example, immunosuppressive drugs or anticoagulants or anything like that, then consult the doctor who's prescribing you. But really, it's pretty much everyone should have the vaccine.
And just quickly, the new variant, how are we feeling about it? Any other news? Because I know you're obviously keeping an eye on it, you know, quite closely.
That's quite right. And the Ministerial Advisory Committee is looking at it, and the government are looking at it, Department of Health. But we have excellent scientists who picked this up. So it's C.1.2 is what it's called. It's in all 9 provinces, but it's also in at least 8 countries across the world in different regions of the world. So it's not just South Africa that's picked this up. At the moment, it's still a small percentage. We still are dominated hugely by what's called the Delta variant, which is the one has caused this very big third wave, which some of the provinces are still in, although fortunately all the provinces now, bar about one, are really coming out of that third wave, and 2 of the provinces, including Gauteng, have now exited from that third wave. But so the C.1.2, the new variant, small percentage of what we're seeing, but we're watching it closely because some of the changes in this variant are the kind of changes that do increase transmissibility and might cause a worsened disease. But we're watching that space closely.
Are you making December plans? Because I'm struggling to make December plans this year. Can you take it seriously? I mean, so many rumors of a fourth wave, etc. What is your gut feel?
Well, we do anticipate that there could be a fourth wave. The variants are, as we're all beginning to understand, are unknown to us. The fourth wave, that if it comes, is likely to come in November and December. I mean, my feeling would be at the moment, and I think it's probably wise advice, it's probably a good idea to think local. You know, our tourism industry anyway needs our help. It's going to be a safer bet to travel locally. And with all the measures that the hospitality industry will have to put in place. But the big thing, the big, big message here is we have to get our vaccination coverage up. We were talking about this last night on one of the MACs and saying what we want to do is to say to people, look what's happening in the UK. They're opening up sports stadiums. They're opening up everything. Mm. And that the reason they're able to do it is because their vaccination coverage is now so high.
Yeah.
If we can get, we're only at about 25%. If everyone can go out and get vaccinated, if we can get up to 50%, to 75%, we will also be able to start to have a more normal environment, which includes the holidays. So if everyone can go out now and get vaccinated, holidays are on the cards.
Can you believe it? It literally depends on that. If we can get to half the country being vaccinated, your December might look a whole lot different.
It might well, and half and more. We want to get up. We want to hit that 70% by the end of the year. So everybody, you know, it's 18 and over, get out there.
I need to go to the beach, people. Get vaccinated. Professor Rees, thanks for your time. Much and much appreciated. Have a good day and a good week. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.